Hello everyone, welcome to this Logan County Electric Cooperative's 86th Annual Meeting of Members. We will be starting this meeting in just a moment, but before I turn it over, I'd like to go through this introduction a couple of times while we connect to more members. The co-op did send out a packet of information that we will reference throughout this meeting. It would be great to go ahead and grab that right now while we're going through the introductions. But if you don't have it handy, don't worry. You can easily access that member information packet on the co-op's webpage by going to logancounty.coop, that's logancounty.coop, and clicking on Annual Meeting Information. Also, a little bonus for all of our members who who stay on the line for at least 20 minutes, you will qualify to receive a $20 bill credit. So again, that's anybody who stays on the line for at least 20 minutes, you will qualify to receive a $20 bill credit. For those of you who have just joined us, welcome to this Logan County Electric Cooperative's 86th Annual Meeting of Members. Please stay on the line and we will start this meeting shortly. We will be referencing your member information packet that you got in the mail, but if you do not have that handy or with you currently, you can easily go online to logancounty.coop.com and click on Annual Meeting Information to easily access that packet. And remember, all of the members who stay on this call for at least 20 minutes will qualify to receive a $20 bill credit. With that, I would like to thank everyone for joining us today. It is my pleasure to officially start this meeting by introducing the co-op's chairman of board, Scott Hall. Scott, please take it away.
Thank you, Erin. Good evening, co-op members. I want to welcome you to the Logan County Electric Cooperative's 86th Annual Meeting of Members. Before we start our meeting, I want to let you know that should your phone drop the call during the meeting, you can rejoin us by calling the toll-free number found on page one of the packet of information that you received. And if you do not have your packet, you can go to our website, logancounty.coop, co-op, and click the blue button that reads Annual Meeting Information. The packet of information you will open for you. At this time, I declare that we have a quorum. We have 575 members on the line currently. I officially call the 86th Annual Meeting to order. The first item of business tonight, per the co-op's Code of Regulations, is the reading of the Annual Meeting Notice. The official notice of the Annual Meeting was announced in May in the May edition of the Ohio Cooperative Living Magazine. The notice read, you are invited to join the third Teletown Hall Annual Meeting on June 14th at 7 p.m. This marks the 86th Annual Meeting of Logan County Electric Cooperative members. Next, please reference the packet of information for the minutes of the 2021 Annual Meeting. Again, if you do not have your packet of information, it can be found on the co-op's website by clicking Annual Meeting Information. For the first motion tonight, I need to ask our members to approve these minutes. But before I ask for a motion, does anyone have any additions or corrections that need to be made to the 2021 minutes?
If you have any additions or corrections, please press zero on your phone keypad. You will be able to talk with an operator who will take down your comments and share them with the co-op staff who are conducting this meeting. Again, that is zero on your phone keypad for any additions or corrections.
We will wait a minute to see if there are any additions or corrections. While we wait, I want to remind the members living in District 2, which is Richland and MacArthur Townships, and District 3, Rush Creek and Bokes Creek Townships, that your districts are up for election next year. A trustee interest card will be mailed to you this fall for you to fill out and return to the co-op to express your interest in serving on the board. We are thankful to our members engaging in the co-op because this engagement is vital to the long-term health of our member-owned co-op. Seeing that there are no comments have been made currently, the 2021 Annual Meeting Minutes, can I have a motion to approve these minutes as presented?
To make a motion to approve these minutes as presented, please press 1 on your phone now.
Okay, there was a motion. Can I have a second?
And to second that, please press 1 on your phone now.
We have a motion and a second. We will now vote on the motion to accept the minutes.
All of those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please signify by pressing 1. If you are opposed, please press 5.
Motion carried. Our next order of business is to hear a nominating committee report and to announce the results of the trustee election. The co-op's Director of Communications, Michael Wilson, will give the nominating committee report, which is found on page 5 of your information packet. Michael?
Thank you, Scott. First, I want to thank the members who made up this year's nominating committee. Those members were Kevin Metz, Scott Reisner, David Evans, Jay Ackley, Greg Kreischer, Tim Jenkins, and Janet Dietrich. It was really a pleasure working with you this year. Now, this committee met on January 11th and 20th to interview 10 members who expressed their willingness to serve as trustee for the 3 districts up for election. Now, according to the co-op's code of regulations, the committee cannot place more than 2 members from each district on the ballot. And after interviews were conducted with those 10 candidates, a motion was unanimously approved by the nominating committee to present Jerry Klein and Rod Hager as candidates for District 5, incumbent Scott Hall and Deb Anderson for District 6, and incumbent Warren Taylor and Kevin Barth as candidates for District 7.
Thank you, Michael. To announce the results of the trustee election, I welcome the co-op's legal counsel, Doug Smith, from the law firm of Smith, Smith, Montgomery, and Chamberlain. Doug?
Thank you, Scott. The co-op contracted with Diamond Communications Solutions to manage all aspects of the voting process for this year's trustee election. The candidate in each district receiving the most votes is being elected to a 3-year term on the co-op's Board of Trustees. Smith, Smith, Montgomery, and Chamberlain validated this election, and I'm pleased to present the results to you tonight. There were 760 ballots cast in this election, which represents 19% of the eligible voting members. The member receiving the most votes in District 5 was Jerry Klein. The member receiving the most votes in District 6 was Scott Hall. And the member receiving the most votes in District 7 was Warren Taylor. Congratulations to these candidates. I will administer the oath of office to Mr. Klein, Mr. Hall, and Mr. Taylor during the July board meeting.
Thank you, Doug, and I want to thank everyone who was involved in the trustee election and thank our members who took the time to vote in this election. As we turn our attention to next year's election, we'd like to present the 2023 nominating committee. The members proposed to serve on this committee were presented to the and approved by the Board of Trustees during the April board meeting. This committee, listed in your packet of information on page 5, is now presented to our members for confirmation. The proposed committee is Lance Hill, Scott Reisner, David Evans, Jay Ackley, Greg Kreischer, Tim Jenkins, and Gary Genter. To confirm the 2023 nominating committee, I need to ask the members for a motion.
To make a motion to confirm the 2023 nominating committee, please press 1 on your phone now. Again, that's 1 on your phone to confirm.
And we have a first. Is there a second?
To make a second, please press 1 now.
We have a motion and a second, and we'll now vote to confirm the 2023 nominating committee.
All those in favor of approving the nominating committee, please press 1 on your phone now, and those who are opposed, please press 5. So 1 to approve and 5 to oppose.
Okay, the motion is carried. Thank you. At this time, President and General Manager Joe Waltz will explain the proposed changes to the Code of Regulations. This proposal was presented to our members on page pages 6 and 7 of the packet information. Joe?
Thank you, Scott. The proposed changes have been approved by the Board of Trustees and presented to the members in the annual meeting information packet that was mailed to you. I will summarize the proposed changes we are asking the members to approve tonight. The three proposed changes are to the Cooperative's Code of Regulations, Article 4, Section 4, regarding nominations. Change 1. The first proposal is to simply delete the statement, no person shall serve on the nominating committee more than 3 consecutive years. By deleting this statement, members would agree to allow the nominating committee members to serve more than 3 consecutive years on the committee. This change allows for more experience as they interview prospective trustee candidates. The committee members will only serve 1-year commitments and will be confirmed each year by the members at the annual meeting, but they will no longer be confined to serving 3 consecutive years. Change 2. The second proposed change would amend the date for written petitions must be submitted from 45 days prior to the annual meeting to 90 days prior to the annual meeting. This change allows petition candidates to be included in the Ohio Cooperative Living Magazine article with other trustee candidates who were chosen by the nominating committee. Today, if a member turned in a petition 45 days before the annual meeting, they would not be included in any communications announcing the candidates, and due to printing deadlines, their name would not even be included in the ballot. Changing to 90 days would meet the deadlines to include them in the magazine and on the ballot. Change 3. The third proposed change will reduce the number of signatures required for a member to petition their way onto a ballot from 100 to 50. If we lengthen the number of days before the annual meeting when the petitions are due, we propose to lessen the number of signatures required, yet maintain a large number to validate the member as a viable trustee candidate. If any member wishes to ask a question about these proposed changes, press 0 on your phone. You will talk to an operator who will relay your question to me. Back to you, Scott.
Thank you, Joe. I need to ask the members for a motion.
To make a motion to approve the changes to the Code of Regulations, please press 1 now.
We have a first. Is there a second?
To second, please press 1 on your phone now.
We have a motion and a second. Seeing there are no questions, we will now vote to approve these changes.
All of those in favor of approving the changes to the Code of Regulations, please press 1 on your phone, and those opposed, please press 5. That's 1 to approve and 5 to oppose.
Okay, the motion carried. Thank you. At this time, Tiffany Stoner, Vice President of Finance and Accounting, will present the financial report. Tiffany?
Thank you, Scott. To help you follow along with the financial report, we've included financial information on page 8 through 11 of your packet of information. I will be referencing these pages during my report. So first, I'd like to talk about revenue, which is the money generated from the sale of electric. There's a graph showing revenue for you on page 8 of your mailer. Revenue for 2021 was $20,787,068, which was $1,310,348 higher than what we brought in the prior year. Kilowatt sales were down in large part because commercial businesses were interrupted the past couple of years due to COVID-19. Kilowatt sales for 2020 were $172,975,405, and in 2021, they were $171,642,155. This was a 0.77% reduction in kilowatt sales. What is interesting, however, is that while both residential and commercial usage were down in 2021, the mix of revenue remained somewhat consistent as compared to prior years. with residential bringing in 48% of our revenue dollars, and large and small commercial together also totaling 50%. The remaining 2% was revenue from public buildings and street lighting. Moving on to expenses on page 9, these are the expenses that are paid out of that income that was generated and shown on page 8. Expenses for 2021 were also up by $1,346,651 from 2020, which is what drove the revenue to be higher since we do pass the cost through to our members. Of our $20,114,923 in expenses, $13,846,674 of that were related to the cost of power. The cooperative does receive a bill each month from our power generator, just as our members do, and it has been greater than $1 million each month. For 2021, power costs represented 69% of our total expenses paid by the cooperative, and we expected that number to grow as transmission costs had been on the rise. The other 31% is shown in the pie chart on page 9 as well. These are the other operating costs of our business, such as line maintenance, substation maintenance, tree trimming, consumer accounts, management, kilowatt taxes paid to the state of Ohio, and interest on our debt. These are the distribution expenses to run the co-op and bring power to our members. Now turning to page 10, this financial report is a detail supporting the graphs that we have been looking at. For example, line 1 is revenue from electric sales. Line 2 is the cost of purchased power. The next 13 lines are the smaller pieces of that expense pie. I think the important thing to take away from this report is that our actual operating margins of $672,145 are only about half of the total net margins for the period. The remaining portion is largely due to our Buckeye Power capital credits, which are allocated to us yearly by our cooperative power generator, but those are not actually cash in hand for use in covering cooperative expenses. Our margins were enough to carry our activities and yet retire a healthy amount of capital credits. So speaking of capital credits, on page 11, we were able to retire $796,797 of patronage capital back to our members last year, a large chunk of that being in the form of those general retirement checks that you receive in early December. In total, that brings our retirements life to date up to $12,948,899. Lastly, our audit by Ray & Associates was wrapped up in mid-March for the 2021 financial period, and again, we received a clear opinion. This means that our financial statements were fairly represented and that no adjusting entries were required. At that point, we officially rolled the books into the year 2022, and we are currently gearing up for the forecasting and budgeting period in the fall for next year for 2023. Take care, and thank you for hanging on the line to hear my financial report. Have a great summer.
Thank you, Tiffany. Finally, I want to welcome Joe Waltz, the co-op's president and general manager, who will give the president's report. Joe?
Thank you, Scott. Good evening, and welcome to the 86th Annual Meeting of Members. We are so glad you're with us tonight. In another difficult year of continuing changes, our mission at Logan remains the same. We exist to serve our members. Despite the challenging business climate, 2021 was a better than expected year for your cooperative. The effects of COVID over the last 2 years continue to have a lingering effect on our local economy and the way of our way of life. Inflation is rearing its ugly head and is contributing to higher costs nationwide, and material supply chain issues on goods and services which continue to constrain our local economy. Despite these and many other continuing challenges, your cooperative continues to provide you the safest, most reliable, and cost-based service to our members. Our continued success starts with our Board of Trustees. As you may know, we are governed by a dedicated and engaged Board of Trustees elected by you, the member owners. The Board's strategic direction and support has provided the conditions for Logan to succeed today and into the future. In 2021, we continued to drive strong system performance at a 99.97 reliability rate due to our ongoing investments in our infrastructure of more than 800 miles of power lines. One unique benefit of being a member owner of a cooperative is that you receive a return on your investment through capital credits. Because we continue to have a strong equity position, in 2021, the board approved the retirement of $750,000 in capital credits, most of which was distributed to those who've been members for 23 years. Capital credits remain one of the most visible and important benefits of being a co-op member, and this return on your investment is a key indicator of our financial health. We continue to explore all opportunities to provide broadband to all our members. It is important to note that bringing broadband to rural areas is much like bringing electricity to rural areas 86 years ago. Current providers of high-speed internet only want to provide service to those areas with high-density population. At the cooperative, we have been pursuing every avenue to bring broadband to the rural areas of Logan County, which includes grant funding from the federal and state level, as well as business partnerships. As we move forward, I am more optimistic that our members will have access to broadband in the next 5 years. While I have no public announcement, we are beginning to see investment by current and new broadband providers in the area. As you probably know, there is a big push for electrification of vehicles in today's world. The cooperative continues to evaluate the technology and demand this will have on our electrical system. To better understand this technology, we installed an EV charger at our office about 6 months ago. This was possible through a grant program at Statewide that covered the cost of the unit. I will say I've been surprised with the amount of use at the charger at our office, which is averaging 5 sessions a month. As we move forward, we know that most EV charging will take place in our members' garages. So Logan plans to launch a residential EV charging unit rebate this fall to our members. We will have additional information regarding this in the coming months. In our decision to conduct this annual meeting by telephone, we are planning multiple opportunities for you to learn about and communicate with your cooperative. This year, we plan to continue with the Cardinal Plant Tour in September, a Member Appreciation Day in October, and we'll be conducting member aware meetings in October and April of next year. We are still finalizing the details for these events, but I wanted the membership to know that my door is always open to talk to our members about issues, ideas, or anything we can do to serve you better. Even though many economic factors are driving costs higher in every sector of our economy, Logan is positioned well and will not have to raise rates in 2022, making it the fifth year in a row that we have maintained the same energy rates for our members. The reality with the current economy, inflation, is we will need to raise rates in 2023 to recover the additional cost. We will perform a cost of service study to determine the appropriate increase in rates, which will have the least possible impact on our members. We understand and share the difficulties so many of you are facing during these uncertain times. I'd like to close by giving a sincere thank you to each and every employee at Logan County Co-op. Without their dedication and fulfillment of the cooperative principles, we would not be able to provide our members with the exceptional service that we deliver you today. Thank you for being a valued member, and I will now turn the meeting back over to our chairman, Scott Hall.
Thank you, Joe. This concludes our business for this evening. But if you would like to leave a question or comment for the co-op, you can do so by leaving a voicemail at the end of this meeting. And on behalf of the Logan County Electric Cooperatives Board of Trustees and employees, I want to thank you for your participation. We still currently have 600 people still on the line for tonight's 86th annual meeting of members. I officially declare this meeting adjourned. Thank you.